Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 288, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Mm-hmm. Where do the days go, Miles?
I know. I wish I knew what day it was, but I don't. You said May 22nd?
May 22nd.
Just to confirm that? Okay. It's hard for me to keep up with all the days. Wait, yeah. Where am I?
What's the day again?
I'm sorry. Whoa. I didn't have the thing. Hold on.
What's going on? I have to scroll
because normally when we do it on Fridays and I go to the tomorrow hyperlink, it's Saturday and I have to actually navigate to the 22nd. Here we go. It's May 22nd. You know what that means. It's International Being You Day. National Solitaire Day. Shout out to all the people on Windows, like our kids in schools on the computer library who love to play solitaire like me. World Paloma Day.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah. Solitaire on the computer?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. It's one of the great pastimes. And then picking the designs you like on the back of the cards. I like the seashell one myself. It's also National Vanilla Pudding Day, so shout out to Ron DeSantis. National Bi-Musical Instrument Day and National Maritime Day.
Mm. Was it vanilla pudding that he was finger blasting?
I know it was some kind of plastic cup pudding that he was using his fingers, his digital spoon.
I'd always picture
he called it a digital spoon, I believe. Just to be fancy about it. It's actually a digital spoon. You mean your digits as in your fingers? Yes. Victor's telling us it's chocolate.
Okay.
Or chocolate.
Yeah, that's how I pictured it.
Chocolate, as you would say.
Something about me and Ron DeSantis were always locked in together, kind of on the same page. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. My Jack, hosts the TDZ. Your Jack supports the GOP. My Jack drops a Daily Double for free. Your Jack released on Daily Wire for a fee. My Jack, thighs bigger than a bridge. Your Jacks look like a little kid's. Jack's plumpers larger than the Chargers, the whole team. Your Jacks, they looking obscene. Jack's thighs are like supersized. Your Jacks look like two fries. Oh, man.
Wow.
That's courtesy of Ezbot.
Yeah.
Who said, I could have kept going, but we all get it. He got thick AF thighs, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. This is another rap song that I was not familiar with. By Mickey Avalon.
It's all just stupid comparisons.
It's all stupid, Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Miles, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, aka He on a Florida tour, whip put in on his hand, being a fucking disgrace with trans rights in the can. Okay, that's about Ron DeSantis. Shout out to Ray Zach on the Discord, who hit us with that wonderful Tribe Called Quest award tour mashup where we reference Ron DeSantis. Look, we got it all. We got it all. Talented, talented listeners, you know, with
that
the poetry.
That one really got me.
He on a Florida tour, whip put in on his hand.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by an author and podcast host may know from her shows, Crime Writers On, the Netflix show You Can't Make This Up. And these are their stories, the Law and Order podcast, which I believe I guested it on many years ago. Please welcome to this show, Rebecca Lavoy!
Hello! Where's my rap song? Come on.
Where's your rap?
Where's your rap? What's your favorite? I would say, what's your favorite karaoke song?
Oh God, Kevin and I do Love Shack together. It's something.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 16 miles to the
Love Shack, yeah, that kind
love
of situation.
Love Shack, baby, I love that's my favorite voice to do.
Yeah.
His I gotta say, his level of difficulty much lower than yours. He's really letting him off easy.
It's so kind
I
kind of
talk like
lives.
This, and it goes like that. And I am
this
singing.
Is how I sing, baby.
Now hit that high note.
And then I have to choose like which girl I want to be.
Right.
Oh man,
you're like doing costume changes, switching between the two girls,
whipping my
like
ponytail around.
She's like one of those singers. Is one of the great voices. Just the pipes.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
Yeah, I'm just
so
as
if you're
good.
Pulling that off, if you're pulling that off, my hat's off to you.
No, there's like a drunken component of karaoke. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People don't care. I mean, they do, but they don't.
Right.
Where are you coming to us from?
I live in New Hampshire, if you can believe
it. New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Live free or die.
That's right. Uh-huh.
I've been there a few times. I used to play hockey, like competitive hockey. So I'd go to New Hampshire and the New England area a lot. Saw the old man on the mountain before it all started crumbling.
Oh, R.I.P. old man,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear what happened up here in the news around the old man in the mountain on the anniversary? The state legislator who compared it to 9/11.
His face falling off was compared to 9/11?
Yes.
It wasn't vandalism, right? It was like just natural erosion.
No, it was natural erosion.
It was Mother Nature's terrorism.
Although my son Henry, Nepo Baby podcaster, he put out a version of his show today called Who Did 5/3, which is about that state legislator.
Who did it?
Your son's very, you've on a recent episode of Crime Writers On, you were talking about the impression he does of you that cracked me up.
Which one is that?
It's like, you know, Bone Valley?
Have
you ever seen Bone Valley?
Have you ever heard of Bone Valley?
Which is a crime podcast.
Which is all I went around saying for like 3 months. But it worked.
You know Bone Valley?
Fucking worked. People listen to the damn show. And now it's winning awards. So it obviously worked. Whatever.
Yeah, you got the word
out. Bone Valley?
I'll own it.
Yeah.
It's not a porno podcast, even though it sounds like one.
Right,
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, Bone Valley really could be about the San Fernando Valley's porn industry.
It could. Yeah. It could.
Wow.
It is.
All right. Okay. Well, Rebecca, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. First of all, we're going to pick your brain about just true crime, the state of true crime, what our obsession with true crime means. We will talk about the amazing human shitpost, Elon Musk, because he's just out here shitposting in reality.
Yeah.
And we'll probably talk about workplace drug testing, which I didn't realize was invented by the Reagans. That wasn't a thing before. And in most other countries, they're like, that's not a thing, period. That's weird.
I was so nervous when you piss tested me when you first wanted me to like potentially work with you on the podcast.
You didn't know that it was just like a kink of mine.
Well, and I'm also just glad that, like, you were chill. You clearly didn't say anything. The fact that I just put lemonade in the cup. And you were like, yeah, all right, cool. Looks good. Well, I think we're good
here. We're good here. Yeah.
Just take it to the lab really quick. And you turned your back and then you burped, I think. And
then I was like, gross.
All good.
All that, plenty more. But first, Rebecca, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I have my search history right now. Why does my dog eat grass when he feels sick?
Classic.
I also have, what does disavow mean? Which is a like one of those things where like you're writing something or doing something and you're like, sure, you 100% know what a word means. But then when you use it, you're like, wait, am I using that right? Am I fucking stupid? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I have those are my two most recent search terms and they obviously go together very well.
And was this a just a casual text message where you were using the word disavow?
No. I actually did an event on Wednesday night with I work on the during my day job. I work at New Hampshire Public Radio. We did Bear Brook and we had an event and I was hosting it. And like I was talking about somebody disavowing their role like in a wrongful conviction. Right. But I was like writing the script and I was like, disavow, I don't know. So I was, you know, I wasn't going to be, I don't want to be stupid. So looked it up.
Yeah.
It was right. It was right. I knew it was right, but you know.
Why do I know dogs eat, they eat the grass to like help them vomit, right?
Yes, but I have a dog that he gets sick so often. He's a like Wheaton Terrier, very sensitive stomach situation. And, you know, so we're at the point now where we're like, he just wants to go out and eat grass. Don't take him out. Don't take him out. And at one point when he was young, we had just mowed the lawn and he ate all the grass on the mowed
just
lawn and
it
made a giant ball in his stomach and he had to have surgery to get it out.
Oh, no.
So I actually, but he's 12 now and it's never occurred to me to like, look up why. I'm like, he's gonna be dead. And I've looked it up, but no, it's just because like they don't really know. Either it makes them want to throw up or it soothes their stomach, but apparently it's not that bad for them unless they eat right after you mow your lawn, which don't do that.
Just don't leave it all out there for all you can eat grass buffet.
Nope, don't do that.
Turns out I was right about disavow because I was like, uh-oh, maybe I've had it wrong.
Exactly, but it's one
deny
of those
any
words.
Responsibility or support for
right. Right. It's not like nonplussed, which literally everybody uses the
wrong
way.
Is wrong. To the point that I think we can just all start using nonplussed the way that everybody uses it.
I think that the dictionary people actually just allowed that. And that actually pisses me off because.
Yeah.
I'm not a snob about stuff like that usually, except that like that's one where it's like, come on, get your shit together. Nonplussed people, get your shit together.
I don't like it. So I'll say I was nonplussed.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, right. You cannot take anymore. You're nonplussed. You're out of your mind. Yes.
So the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, has surprised and confused so much that they're unsure how to react as the number one meaning. And then number two, of a person, not disconcerted, unperturbed. And this is informal North American. They're just like, we just gotta like let the North Americans fuck this up.
It's the dummy definition.
What is something that you think is overrated?
Besides sandwiches?
Yes.
Wow.
Quitting Twitter and indignation. Overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why?
Yeah.
Because no one notices when you stop doing something. No one.
Right.
No one notices. Yeah. And like every social media platform sucks in its own special way. Elon obviously extra sucks, which I guess we're going to be talking about. But like no one notices when you stop doing something. I've seen a specific news organization that I may or may not have a loose affiliation with, you know, quit in a very public way. My news outlet did too. And I, you know, they didn't make us quit, you know, or the reporters of that news organization quit. But I'm like, what an opportunity you had when you're actually being talked about to do something else with this besides just stop doing anything.
Right.
And now, like, you're not doing anything with it. Like, you could have raised money. You could have, like, taught people what journalism is. But, like, when you're not doing anything, nobody notices you're not doing anything. So I just think that there's, like, taking your toy. Remember what happened with Reddit, like, a bunch of years ago? Like, what happened with that? Nothing. Like, nothing happened with that. So I don't know. I just think that there's some, like, a little bit of just like virtue signaling, nothing burgerness and quitting Twitter and indignation right now. I mean, maybe someday it will be important, but to me, it's a little bit overrated.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if either one of you did that. And I just like,
I post like 12 to 13 times a day about how I'm quitting Twitter.
Yeah.
Each post is like, that's it. You've done it this time, Musk. But I guess the fact that I've been doing that for 3 months now, probably.
I'll never quit because I never thought I would have this many followers and I like to look at the number. So why would I do that now? I'm at the top of my game.
That's true.
And may I say to the followers, you guys stop quitting because it's making our number go down.
What the fuck?
That makes us sad.
You're burning me. You burned me, listeners who quit Twitter. My number went down.
Like, Jack, I was looking at your follower number. You're like about twice as many as me. Like, I could fill like a small college football stadium. You could fill like a big college football stadium. Like, you couldn't like show up somewhere and like 45,000 people would show up, right?
Right.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. And right. They're all very loyal, too.
And they're all real. I check in 100% with them on a daily real basis. People.
They're,
none
they're
of them
huge
are bots.
Fans of mine.
Yeah,
none right. of them are bots, and they're right. all
they're all real.
Love me. Yeah, they love me like family members. I have a 45,000 person family.
They're all going to hang out flags in front of their house after they graduate you.
It's weird how I can get 12,000 of them to say the exact same thing to me at the same time.
Yeah.
Crazy. How much they're, that's how on the same page they are.
Wait, and then sandwiches are overrated? You just kind of skip past that.
Yeah, sandwiches are overrated.
To bury the lead.
Yeah.
All sandwiches.
All sandwiches.
Well, not grilled cheese, obviously.
Whoa. Okay. I like obviously.
Obviously not one of the three most popular sandwiches.
The world's greatest hangover food is obviously not overrated.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't get. I've never understood like the obsession with sandwiches. I know people love sandwiches. For me personally.
Sure. No, I get it.
I'm not. Like, oh, is no it judgment. So?
It's like the mania, like sandwich mania that's overrated, or you're just
sandwiches.
Saying, like,
I don't understand sandwich. Like when people are like, oh, we're going to bring in lunch for this meeting. We're bringing in sandwiches. And everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like,
yes.
Fuck, what do you mean? Oh. Yeah.
Right.
Pizza. Yeah. Sandwiches. No. Like it's just.
Yeah.
The stuff in the middle is the good part, and like I have to get through the shit on the outside to get the stuff in the middle.
Oh, you're almost like Trump with pizza. You're like, nah, not the bread, just the top part. Scrape it off. Just give me
thank
the
you. Thank you for that very complimentary comparison. I really appreciate it.
I get the sort of singular focus though of just sort of like, nah, that's filler. You don't want that. You want the meats and the cheeses right there. That's the fucking, there's that's
I, I'm
the
just,
money.
I'm not like a huge, huge bread person. I mean, I'm not like anti-carbs. I fucking love carbs, but I'm not like one of people who's like, I love bread.
Right.
And then people are always like, you'll love it if you have the bread I make. And then I'm like, no, I fucking won't. Like, I don't really. It's telling like, it's just bread. It's just like, it's not that special.
No.
That's just not my opinion. Bread. It's my opinion. Not everybody agrees. It's okay. I have had great bread. Don't get me wrong. There is bread that's better than other bread. I agree with that.
Have you tried there's this thing they have out here in LA called sliced bread where they
It's not just one big hunk.
It's really the greatest thing.
Does it come out of a stone oven? It's not artisanal. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Wonder. That's it. That's good stuff. Have you tried Wonder?
The stuff. Sliced bread gets so much credit from people all the time.
Have you seen like those clips when like Americans are amazed at like the bread slicers in Europe? Like when you go to a store and like, oh, there's like, I've just seen a genre video of like Americans whose minds are blown buying like a loaf of bread at a European grocery store that like you can then take to a machine that just like slices it fresh.
Like the coffee grinder?
I was just going to say like the coffee grinder.
Yeah, you just load it in. It might be in Germany or something like that. And it just like cleanly just slices it up. So you have like good, like your loaf is actually as fresh as possible or whatever. And they're like,
wow,
it just slices it right here. And I'm like, and I watch it too. I'm like, come on, man. Act like you're, I'm like, it just slices it right there.
Have some chill, for God's sake. It's so embarrassing. Yeah.
Act like you've been here.
That shit does make it, like grinding your coffee beans right before you brew the coffee really does make a difference. I want a unsliced Wonder Bread loaf. is that something they even sell?
No, thank you. I'll take it home just, with your bread knife, just doing the most uneven slices of Wonder Bread.
You ever tried to cut Wonder Bread or like with a knife?
Yeah.
You can't do it. It's
terrible.
Just like, but.
Yeah. You need like
it's a non-Newtonian substance. It's neither air, it's neither gas nor solid nor liquid.
Yeah.
The knife doesn't know what to do with it. What is something that you think is underrated?
Oh, it's easy. HGTV. 100% underrated.
HGTV.
So here's the thing. Like, how many people watch Succession, really? I watch Succession, don't fucking get me wrong, but like a couple million people watch it when it's on and then a couple million people watch it later, right? That's it. 44 million people watch HGTV. I'm not kidding. Like, there's a show called Rock the Block that's like their one of their like big competition like prestige shows. 14 million people fucking watch that show.
Right.
And there's no like think pieces about that shit.
Right.
None. Everybody watches HGTV. Everybody has seen Flip or Flop. Everybody has seen House Hunters. Everybody has seen Love It or List It. And you talk about it. You can talk about it with anyone.
Yeah.
And everyone is conversant in HGTV. And there's no fucking think pieces about it. And it makes me crazy.
What is Rock the Block? That you
oh
said
my God,
that's
it's
their
the best.
Show.
I think it's the best. Oh yeah. So it's basically like it's kind of an all-stars type show. Where they bring on hosts of other shows and they have four very expensive houses. And over a period of 6 weeks, they have them compete room by room to like do your best kitchen, do your best living room, do your best whatever. And then at the end, one of the teams wins and then they name the block after that team. It's a very like low stakes thing where it's
right,
just like
right.
really fun.
How
reveals.
Much money can you spend in here? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Basically. It's basically aspirational, but it's just like, you know, but... I'll tell you, it's one of the best edited, because HGTV's editing is really frustrating, but it's one of the best edited shows that they make, which is what makes it good. So
Right.
Yeah, underrated.
Yeah, I was just also reading like kind of a think piece about HGTV, but its impact on American homes and the like just monotone aesthetic that exists now in like homes, because everyone's watching the same fucking way of flipping a house that like that we've come to know that like, weird gray
property
fake
brothers
wood floor
yeah.
like that yeah. gray like but specifically how that floor has taken over the United States thanks to like HGTV type shows. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, wow,
that floor is awful. It really is.
Yeah,
that light gray vinyl thing.
And look, no shade if that's the floor you got, just
if you love
me.
It love it, you know? If you love it, but
love
you're not
it
gonna love
it
in like
but
3 years.
I would list it for me. I would list it. And it's true though what you say, like It's I've noticed even like when I've babysat like my young nieces or nephews, I could put House Hunters on and they fuck with it.
Yeah.
They're, even like little kids are like, like they're just like watching like, is this interesting to you? They're like interested. They're all
House
different
two.
Rooms. Yeah. They're like different rooms in another country. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah. International is super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun. It's like. Did you want to live in the house that your boyfriend wants, which is $12,000 over budget?
Right.
Do you want to live in the house that is exactly in budget, but horribly disappointing? Or do you want to live in the hovel by
right.
the beach that you have to piss outside?
Right,
which
right,
one
right.
do you want? Like, it's always the same.
The spectrum's so wacky. Yeah. And it also helps for people who like, if you're like, man, I got to get out of the U.S., watch House Hunters and you're like, that's the rent over there?
Right.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to live in Lisbon.
There you go. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Rebecca, you spend a lot of time talking about, writing about true crime as a genre, which is, and it's in the news now. NPR is debunking like the wave of fentanyl poisonings
yes.
that we're seeing from police.
Did you do scare quotes around fentanyl poisoning?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Always like merely, assume implied scare quotes around police and fentanyl poisoning.
Around police and just about anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what I wanted to just get your, like, I've talked about this before on the show, but it does feel like the thing that is different about true crime, just narratively, like, obviously the big difference is that, like, between, I grew up on crime shows and, you know, like Law and Order or, you know, movies, crime movies where the police were at least competent, or there was a competent police officer who was like pushing back against the corruption and, you know, inefficiencies. And then, like, true crime, the main myth that it seems to be debunking as a genre is that the police are ever like competent and ever like they're so rarely like that. The default seems to be, and then the police fucked this up. Like, there were all these people who should have been interviewed, like, all of these things that your response as a rational human being would be like, oh, well, you'd want to talk to that person, or you'd want to follow that line of reasoning. And the police just get it wrong, like, time after time after time, which I think adds to the stakes of true crime, because it kind of opens people up to a reality where, like, the police aren't actually there to keep us safe. And so the world is much more dangerous in that respect, or at least, like, much less, you know, yeah, I guess more dangerous and less safe. And, like, there's not this default that we've always been told there is with, like, you just call the police and they'll handle it and they'll make it right. Like, do you think of that as kind of a constant in true crime, or like at least a narrative difference that you see repeatedly happening?
Well, it's certainly a narrative difference to white people. It's not a narrative difference to people of color who've never trusted the cops very rightly, because
right.
they know that they've been getting it wrong forever and ever and ever. But yeah, so there's a couple things going on. One is obviously police corruption, police misconduct has obviously been sort of unveiled more in the last few years. And journalism is starting to finally catch up by not just taking the police at their word. When they get a statement from the cops, they don't just print it, or they don't just say, police say X. They do still, don't get me wrong. It happens a lot on TV news. It happens a lot in, like, quick turn stories. But it doesn't happen.
The New York Times.
Yes, it doesn't happen all the time. It's happening. Yeah. It's happening. There is now journalism that questions it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Sure.
But the other thing that is now sort of being unveiled is, aside from misconduct and all that stuff, is that police are trained to win and close cases and not get to the truth. And
right.
it's that training and it's that system that leads to mistakes and misconduct. And, you know, I have a very clear point of view on this that, like, some people don't agree with. It's like, people think like, you know what? He's not a bad guy. He woke up and he didn't wake up this morning thinking I'm going to get the wrong guy and put the wrong guy in prison. This is just the way he was trained and the way the system works. The bottom line is if you are systemically putting the wrong guy in prison, even if you're like a good uncle, you are actually a bad guy. I mean, that's right. Just like the way that it works. But, you are trained in the Reed technique. You're going to use the Reed technique and you're going to put the wrong people in prison. That's just the way that it is. And it does bring me a lot of satisfaction as somebody who I don't really write anymore, but I used to write true crime books that were literally the narrative of like the police did the investigation and got it right and put the person away. But that was like 2007, 2008. Gives me a tremendous amount of satisfaction to disavow the kind of true crime shit that I used to write because it's not real. It's just not. I mean, there are earnest, good investigations, but there are also a shit ton of very, very bad investigations that are completely predicated on closure and getting the win. And that's what all of that is about.
And does the world of policing seem to be every instance where the police are criticized, the police response seems to be belligerence? Like, are there examples where police forces are actually being like, okay, the Reed technique, and if you could explain what the Reed technique is,
sure,
that would be helpful, I think, to our listeners. But
the Reed technique is an interrogation technique that has been scientifically shown to elicit false confessions again and again and again. And interestingly, the Reed technique was invented by this guy named John Reed. The time that he used it, where it was actually the first time he used it, that it became the model for the technique he would then develop, that case ended up being a false confession case.
It works so good.
You can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up. So that technique is actually now like a training course. It's called like the Reed course. And police departments use it all over the country. And they say that they've developed it. They've tweaked it over time. Police officers are supposed to use it in the way that they say and that they've you know, soften the techniques over time. But basically what it is they put the it specifically and really is effective on vulnerable people, on young people, on people with, you know, mental illness, on people with intellectual delays. Think about Brandon Dassey for Making a Murderer, for instance. Basically, what they do is they put people in position where they believe they are helping the police. They lie to them. They give them bad information. They say you're on video doing X, Y, Z. And they basically put you in a position where you believe if you say something, you're going to be in a better situation. You know, and they also do a thing where they don't record the first 12 hours of your interrogation. They only record the final hour where they've finally sort of broken you. And then they have this thing on tape and they go, look, he confessed on tape. What are you talking about? He did it. Who would ever confess on tape if they didn't do it? Right. That's the Reed technique. Yeah.
Even though for 12 hours, I said, you're never going to be able to see wrestling again or go home unless you say this.
Like, exactly. Yeah, or for 12 hours, they say, come on. We all, you know, it's like, if you just tell us this, you're helping us and you're maybe we'll even be able to get you a deal.
Right.
Exactly. We'll figure something out. You know, you'll be able to have dinner. You'll be able to go home and sleep in your own bed tonight. You know, it's like that's what it's all about.
And are you seeing any like it? I think people are maybe getting more exposure to shit like this and like. I guessed it on one of our sister podcasts, Behind the Bastards, about this guy, David Grossman, the director of the Killology Research Group that is like goes around and gives these speeches to police about how they should like feel comfortable killing people who make them scared, essentially. Like there's all these just shockingly morally bankrupt training practices and just general practices in how police go about doing their jobs. Like, it,
Did you guys see Killing County on Netflix?
This
documentary, Killing County, Colin Kaepernick's film company made it. It's about the county where he's from. And there's a shocking piece of footage in there. Not shocking, not surprising, but shocking. I think it's the sheriff is talking to the department. And he's basically in a training saying that it is better for the department to kill someone than wound them, because if you kill them, they can't sue you.
Right.
Jesus. Essentially what he says.
Hulu, right? It's about Bakersfield.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, you're right. It's not Netflix. It's Hulu.
Okay.
It's shocking. It's like, and that's like, if that is, you know, that he's not the only cop in the world who is walking around this way. Right.
Right. To think about the payouts, too. And I'm like, yeah, well, pay that claim if you wound someone or maim
right.
someone.
Right, or just arrest them or whatever. It's like, you know, it's just cheaper and quicker and cleaner. So, yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen some political successes with, like, I mean, locally in L.A., there were some local elections where people voted against increasing the police budget. You know, the Jacksonville just had kind of a... Not a like anti-police or police reformist candidate, but somebody who was they were trying to paint as like a Black Lives Matter anti-police supporter, and people voted for her anyways. I'm just like wondering, is all the true crime that people are watching, do you think changing anything, or are the police just going to like kind of hunker down and, you know, respond with belligerence like we've seen them do time after time?
I think it's going to take a generation, to be completely honest with you. I think it's going to be like, like the kids of consumers, because it's like there's a wave of like, you know, and I don't want to be gross about it, but like there are millions of like middle class Midwestern women who now know what Brady violations are, who never thought about it before because they listened to like Serial and Undisclosed and like Dark and shit. Right. So like their kids might be like hearing a little bit of their outrage, and like some of their kids are going to grow up and become lawyers or whatever. Right. So I think it's going to be generational. I'll tell you, the elected officials thing is tough because election cycles are short. The thing that has made a huge difference in cities and communities and states is conviction integrity units. Right. Like Philadelphia has a conviction integrity unit, this guy Larry Krasner.
Yeah.
What happens when there's a conviction integrity unit and shit starts getting overturned, people start getting out of prison, then there's a lot of political pressure to start looking at the system that put people there because it's embarrassing, and the cities have to start writing big checks. So getting conviction integrity units set up, not only does it actually get people out of prison, which is the result you want, but also it creates like a bubble of pressure that you can't ignore because it's just there. So I think that's one of the most effective changes that I've seen happen politically, more so than electing somebody. Also, like in LA, you had that sheriff who pretended he was a reformist and then ended up being like a bad guy, right?
So
election cycles are quick. People say what they're going to say and then they can't actually do anything when they're elected. But yeah, I think conviction integrity, I think that's where it's at.
Right.
I also wonder if we're going to see it bleed over into like how crime and punishment are portrayed in TV and film in general, like just this kind of newer realization. Like I think when I was a kid, the like standard thing that writers had to contend with is like a constant question of like, why wouldn't they just call the cops like that? You know, like that would solve everything. And now, obviously, like that is no longer the case, I'd imagine. But I wonder if we'll see less and less movies that are where it's just like, yeah, so it's a cop and so we can assume they're kind of cool and trying to solve crimes.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're watching the new Law and Order, there's like a lot of, they're handling it very poorly, by the way, the new Law and Order. They're very much like the very beginning when it first came back, it was like, man, we you know, things are changing, man. And then in episode two, it was like, we got to stand up for our brothers. They're under attack.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's
shit.
Like wild.
Yeah. Shut up, fucking red haired freak. You just like, what the fuck? Beating protesters up?
I mean, they constantly talk about it on the show, but then they just behave exactly as abominably as they always have on the show. Right. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of places are like, all they did was just kind of go into hibernation, like in the fall of 2020, when a lot of people were like, you know what? Like live PD might be a mistake of a show, folks. We're sorry. And then it's like right back where we started. It's like, just wait a fucking couple seconds.
Right.
Right.
We'll come back. Brooklyn Nine-Nine will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Elon real quick.
Oh, my God.
Did a CNBC interview at the end of last week. And, you know, what we've seen from his Twitter persona appears to have transferred over to his actual human body persona.
Yeah,
he's just full blown.
He's just a human 4chan shit post, basically. Yeah. And he really let his freak flag fly in that interview. And by freak flag, I mean swastikas. because, man, a lot of the interview made waves like around this like incessant need to defend the like verified Nazi shooter from Allen, Texas. you know, the guy with like the all the Nazi tattoos and the talk of loving Nazis and how he'd rather be a Nazi than act black when he posted that meme. Like, he let everybody know very clearly, you know, where he stood on things, what his perspective was. Anyway, Elon, he goes off about how despite all of the evidence and even the shooter's own words, it's not right to call this like a white supremacist act. So let me just play this. He's going to start off by talking about why he's like dubious, and you can just watch his like brain start melting.
And the evidence for that was some obscure Russian website that no one's ever heard of, that had no followers. And the company that came, that found this is Bellingcat.
Right.
And do you know what Bellingcat does? PsyOps.
Right. I couldn't really even follow exactly what it was you were trying to express there, so that's in part why I was curious.
I'm saying that I thought this, the ascribing it to white supremacy was bullshit.
Okay.
And that the information for that came from an obscure Russian website and was somehow magically found by Bellingcat, which is a company that does PsyOps.
Okay, so enough about that, because Bellingcat does not do PsyOps.
Who is the reporter going, right? Right.
Yeah, why is he just
That's a reflexively
going...
bad thing to say.
Yeah, I know. And even though he did kind of follow up, he's like, look, I only say that because I don't know what you're saying. He did basically like, I don't know what you're trying to say right now.
Change your reflex. Do the Barbaro like, huh?
Right.
Change the reflex, dude. Change it.
It's better to just be like, eh? Honestly. It'll force the person to really have to explain. Huh?
Or say nothing.
Right. Not that. But yeah, again, so he's saying Bellingcat, which does, you know, real investigative journalism, they're saying they do PsyOps and it's bullshit. It's bullshit that they're trying to say that this is a white supremacist act.
What is his horse in this race, aside from being a white supremacist himself? What is his horse in this particular?
I think probably to not give too much momentum to the, not even narrative, to the reality of increasing like extremist violence. And the like that these people exist and they're acting out their ideologies in real physical space violently. Because I think, I don't know if he's trying to thread this needle. He's like saying like, I don't know if he's like, it was a white supremacist reason why he shot those people. It might just be that he was like a white supremacist and shot people. It's like really not clear, but he's definitely trying to like cape for like white supremacy in this very bizarre way. That's not even really clear to even the interviewer who's like, okay.
Right.
You know, your interviewer's like, right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Because, you know, Hitler was correct about what he said. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
And everything that he
did. Oh, my
did
God.
Was
that's going to be the clip you're going to share on social media, isn't it? Don't do that. Yeah.
No way. Absolutely not. So, again, it's just like a very frustrating interview because he is truly just like lost in the sauce. His face, when he was like trying to even explain like the logic path of like this Russian account and Bellingcat, it's like he was trying to like do like a thread on at thread unroll. Like, please, dude, please unroll this Twitter thread in my brain so I can go find like the precise clapback reply that I need in here. And it's a shame that this didn't get like a ton of coverage. I mean, it got some coverage, but like talking about the man that owns fucking Twitter is out here showing you how vile his fucking beliefs are. Like, right. In such a, it's even a way, like, I don't know why I'm mad. I'm like, he's not even doing it elegantly. It's just like the raw stupidity of it. It just like makes it even more and more frustrating to see. And again, have somebody be like, right. PsyOps. Yes.
Yeah. How did they not have support for the claim that like they knew he was going to try to debunk rather than just being, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I
just
mean,
like. I don't even know what you're saying now.
So I have to unroll this a little bit because I just don't understand. So was he even being asked about this because this spread on Twitter? Like, why is this even something he's talking about?
He's been like, because he himself has been retweeting other accounts that are casting aspersions over it.
Got it. Yeah, so yeah, he's now like pot committed to this like situation where he has to defend.
He's
his
like,
thought.
Why are you? Yeah, he's like, why are you using your platform to like? Who are these even people? And then he's like, He's like, well, where did their evidence come from that they were white supremacists?
The guy
comes
has
from a PSYOP company.
Swastika tattoos on his arm.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know. He may have had, his tattoo artist may have had glaucoma and was trying to make a plus sign. I don't know.
We just don't know. But like the fact that that
wasn't
the response from the
reporter. He had fucking SS bolts. His other tattoo are SS bolts.
Yes.
No, those are Celtic runes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's a journeyman electrician, and he's on his way to joining the IBEW, so it's a high voltage logo. Like, what? Shut the fuck up. So, again, and I think the reason why this guy was caught off on CNBC is because they were on Stonks TV. You know what I mean?
Right.
They weren't on MSNBC. He wasn't talking like Ben Collins or someone, or like someone who's like knows, like is very well versed in all this. You know,
Ben Collins is a great example of why I think it is overrated to leave Twitter in indignation. Like, he's a great example of why he's such a
shitster. Did he leave?
No, he's there. It's
okay.
Is if he left, yeah. Like, no one would ever see his shit.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
He's fucking great.
But he's
great
always
shitster.
There to just dunk on people and like.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Always like help people who are not like terminally online, like some of us, understand like what is actually being spoken about. So anyway. Again, this interview was basically on CNBC. So they're like, then he eventually gets to the money part, which is another really interesting moment in this interview. He said the big question is like for people who love stonks like Tesla and stuff. He's like, what the fuck's going on with like Tesla shares and like the way you're running Twitter? Because the businesses are interconnected, whether you like it or not. And he's like, and if you keep turning Twitter into like an ad repelling website equivalent of like Kristallnacht, like, what are you going to, how are you going to keep people's money moving? Like, what do you say to these people who are actually worried about the shit that you post and its effect on the financials of everything? This answer is fucking even, I'm just going to play the whole thing because this is a very, like, this man's brain, I don't even know. I'm just
serve me
play
that
this.
Word salad. Serve it.
Yeah.
God, no. I don't want to at all, but what I'm trying, even came up though in the annual meeting. I mean, you know, do your tweets hurt the company? Are there Tesla owners who say, I don't agree with his political position because, and I know it because he shares so much of it? Or are there advertisers on Twitter that Linda Yaccarino will come and say, you got to stop, man. Or, you know, I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet.
Pause.
Pause.
Pause. He's just looking off into the middle distance.
Booting.
Oh, did you find the right meme?
You know, I'm reminded of...
Bone Valley?
The scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Where he confronts the person who killed his father.
Okay.
He says... Offer me money.
No?
Offer me power.
Literally, that's not what he says.
I don't care.
See, you just don't care.
Offer me money.
You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Has he ever seen that fucking movie? That's literally not. He says, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
prepare to die."
I mean, like literally, everybody knows that. Right?
Offer me money. Offer. It's like, but. I don't understand. He's basically replying in like GIF form.
GIF form, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, what do you say about that? Princess Bride dot GIF is what
it took
back.
Him a while to find it. He was
my
searching.
God.
He got the wrong one.
He racked his brain for the dumbest response. I mean, truly.
Does he have like a early kind of trial version of Neuralink going, like hooked up to Twitter, and like that's just how badly it works, and
yeah,
he was
like,
just going through his
13
brain.
13 seconds to respond. That was a 13 second fucking pause he took to say, I'm reminded of a scene from Princess Bride. What?
Offer me money. Offer me power. I mean, yeah. That couldn't have been the answer that
he's
investors
so,
were looking for.
How fucking awesome would have been if he's, I'm reminded of a scene from Princess Bride. Wherein rodents of unusual size.
I mean, I think it's also just too, these people, especially billionaires, right? They're never in environments where people press them or ask follow up questions. So when they are, it's like a disorienting experience for them. The beginning of the first clip where I talked to, where he's talking about Bellingcat running PSYOPs, when he's like, when the journalist is asking very basic questions of his like Twitter retweets, he's also like almost I'll just play this other section because it truly shows like he is not used to being held to account for fucking anything.
I can't get enough of this. Keep going.
They're a psyops?
All in Allen, Texas. And you say something like it might be a bad psyop. I'm not quite sure what you meant, but...
Oh, in that particular case, there was somehow that's not that the people were killed, but it was I think incorrectly ascribed.
Like,
I was super killed.
His body language, like, you know, I'm no body language expert, although I do testify at trials as an expert a lot of the time.
Very like, scientifically proven to be like legit.
Yes.
But it's just interesting how he like goes, he's starting like this, and then he just really does get small, and he's like, oh, right, this thing, I did
He like tilts his head to the side like a dog that like you just spoke a full sentence to, and the dog right. doesn't like understand what you're saying, and then another pause, and then,
So when you were first talking about this, because I was coming on the show, I didn't know what we were going to be talking about. And I just quickly Googled Elon Musk, CNBC. All of the top headlines I see are Elon Musk tells CNBC he's now up to 6 hours of sleep a night. That was right. the takeaway from this conversation. What?
Because the mainstream media worships billionaires. And
they and their just waxy ass foreheads.
They just want them to be Tony Stark. Real Tony Stark. That's it. They are there to, you know, play a role, and a role that the mainstream media isn't interested in is like massive billionaire thought leader who is also a Nazi. Like they erased that part of Henry Ford's story for many years.
Right.
You know,
and also like that's not a good ad for his mental elasticity for someone who's supposedly such a brilliant. I'm like, this guy took 13 seconds to say, this reminds me of The Princess Bride. I don't know.
And then didn't get the right line that everybody knows.
Offer me the thing. I don't care. Oh yeah, okay.
I'll tweet what I want, Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was this character, a Negro Toyota, I believe. And what he said, what, Elon? Anyway, so Emerald Boy is back at it. Shout out to everybody who was focused on the 6 hours of sleep part.
Oh my God. He needs more, apparently, because there's a lot of
cobwebs.
Gears spinning without anything coming out. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And it was recently announced that the percentage of American workers testing positive for marijuana is at the highest level ever recorded.
Woo!
Yeah.
Which, let them know.
But like, so are all those people being fired for that? Like, that's what, nope. Like, this, the story implied that it was just like informational drug testing. But
right.
Like, why the fuck are people still drug testing their employees?
Is
kind of my question.
Well, yeah.
Isn't it like insurance, or it's like some sort of like situation where like workplaces have like an umbrella policy, or they have them like working heavy equipment or something? I don't know. My workplace has like a thing in our handbook that evokes like potential. You're not supposed to be, you know, imbibing on the job. It's not a question anybody has ever asked anybody ever
at
my workplace. So, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's in other countries there are like I could understand. It's like you can't be intoxicated while operating heavy machinery, obviously. Like that is how drug testing is used in other countries that use it. But the way that the US uses it, where it's just like, we just want to check out your lifestyle and what you're doing when you're not on work hours, is really like, it's not a long-term thing, and it's not practiced in other countries. So like, that's the thing. I always assumed, yeah, there was like some international corporation reason for like with insurance or something like that. But the US is the only place that really has this. It was invented by the Reagans as part of like their war on drugs shit. Like it's a recent innovation that is not helpful, is not effective. And
yeah. It's one of the latest tools of white supremacy
that's
finally, you know, being done away with. Because, yeah, like it's always like, oh, you smoke weed in this part of the neighborhood and you want to work at this grocery store?
Right.
You know, it's like, what the fuck is this? And yeah, all it does is like either dissuades people from wanting to apply for a job, which I'm sure is one factor of it. Or, you know, you can really kind of prolong employing someone by being like, oh, I don't know about your drug tests and shit like that.
I mean, it is on the decline, drug testing, and it's definitely like way less popular than it was fairly recently, but it's still happening in thousands of workplaces. And the reason it's on the decline has nothing to do with the fact that it's invasive and unnecessary and, you know, arguably unconstitutional, but because of the labor shortage caused by the pandemic. And so places like Amazon dropped drug testing in 2021. And like acknowledged that it is inherently racist, but we're like, and we're dropping it, but not because of the racism. We're dropping it because of changing state laws.
Wait, so you know it's racist though?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we always did, because by the way, you know, the war on drugs was not Reagan's, it was Nixon's. And John Ehrlichman gave that interview saying that like, we did it to disrupt black communities. Like that's why we did it. We knew with drugs, we knew that pot wasn't bad. We were lying. That's why we did it. And Carter tried to pull it back. And then the Reagans went like double down with it. Like that's what.
Yeah.
So it's always like, you know, pull back, push, pull back, push. What's happened now with drugs, which is interesting, it's not just the legalization of pot. It's the opioids crisis, which is now like inspired this like wave of empathy for substance use disorder, which it now has a new name. And now it's a health crisis because the perceived victims are white people. Right.
Right.
even though like the fastest growing demographic of deaths right now is like Black people, but it's perceived to be a white problem, which is why it like inspired all of these like actual legislative things and like money and resources and stuff. So it is really interesting to see like how it snaps back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I would not be surprised with all this marijuana legalization and stuff. Like, I think it's great, but I wouldn't be surprised if in like 4, 8, 12 years there was another huge snapback. I just wouldn't, because that's just how, I mean, look what's happening now with abortion. Look what's happening. I mean, it's just, right. Gay rights. Like, it's just, it seems to be like we're on these ebbs and flows. And every time you get an ebb, it's worse than the previous ebb when it comes to being progressive or regressive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, so when Reagan announced it, he instituted it with like the 1.1 million federal employees that he had control over. And then he did a publicity stunt. He was like so horny for drug testing workers. He was like, fuck it, I'll do a drug test.
Ooh.
And but like the reality of the drug test was that if anybody in his administration or if he or Nancy had tested positive, it would have been totally kept totally secret and confidential. And instead of being fired, they'd simply be offered counseling. So
we'll have you handle this with discretion.
Yeah. What? Interesting. But yeah, by 1995, more than 3/4 of employers had adopted workplace drug testing. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
It's typically only done in Europe for safety concerns. And in Canada, workplace drug testing is considered a human rights violation, which makes sense because, like, for instance, a DC police department admitted it used urine samples collected for drug tests to screen female employees for pregnancy without their knowledge or consent.
What?
So,
sorry. I'm not,
gotta
again,
know, man.
Not yeah. shocked, not surprised, just right. like bowled over for the moment a little bit.
Yeah. yeah.
And then what did they do if they found out? Did they just not tell them and just not hire them? That was the thing?
I think that's right.
I imagine.
yeah.
Or could you imagine then they're like, also, girl, you're pregnant. Sorry, we cannot offer you employment with this police department. But, like,
but congratulations.
Low key, you yeah. are preggers, my eggers. Okay.
Right.
So just figure it out.
Congratulations, girl. You're not getting the job, but congratulations.
On what?
Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah. Anyways, because of human error, because of the ability to like buy things that can help hide, like there's all these products. Golden flask urine yeah. novelty kit. It yep. says it's a fetish
novelty.
Urine novelty kit, but of course it's actually just for people to buy. And
if your fetish is employment,
you sick yeah. fuck. You're into working for a corporation that doesn't respect your human rights.
You think that's so hot, don't you? Toil for me.
Yeah. There's the Wizinator. But yeah, so there's just all these products to.
Yeah, it just doesn't even make sense. Who does it? It's nonsense. I remember I remember high school, right? We graduated high school. One of my best friends applied for a job at Costco and he fucking almost fainted at the job interview because they made him piss test.
Wow.
And like, but the thing was, he knew he failed. Like, he was like, bro, I smoke weed every day. He's like, but he's like, I went in confident. And I was like, yeah, okay, give it to me. And he's like, but they hired me anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting.
It's probably like a polygraph where it was like, if they flinch about taking it, they wouldn't hire
yeah.
you.
But if you're like, I actually need to go get my mom from the airport right now. Okay.
And you run away and a bottle of golden flask falls out of
your
short
leg.
I have a
leg.
Condition where I can't urinate unless I'm at
yeah.
home.
Yeah. It's like home field advantage. You know, it happens all
We've
the time.
We've all been there.
But yeah, do away with the fucking drug test, please. Like, it's...
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, Rebecca, such a pleasure having you on the Daily
yeah.
Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you?
Oh my God, this was ridiculously fun. Well, you can listen to Crime Writers On and anything else I do, but you can follow me on social media, including Twitter, because I have not left in a huff, at
go.
Reb Lavoie. That's where I am everywhere.
Yeah. And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you guys have talked about Jury Duty on the show with someone else, right? So
sure.
I won't retread
yeah.
that ground.
We love Pauly Shore
well,
movies.
By the way, this weekend was the return of Selling Sunset on Netflix. Haven't watched it yet, but it's back.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
actually coming out as we're taping this show.
I know.
Which is, yeah. But there's something coming out on Netflix that this week that people should check out that I've seen a preview of. It's called Victim Suspect on Netflix. And since we're talking about criminal justice stuff, and if you want to get real pissed off, it's great. There's a reporter, Ray DeLeon, who works at the Center for Investigative Reporting. And she did this long investigation about women who get arrested after they report being raped. And the cops accuse them of falsely reporting being raped. Oh, and then they get arrested. It's super good. It'll make you really angry, but it's really, really good. And I recommend it. It was at Sundance, and now it's coming out on Netflix. It's really good. But also watch Selling Sunset, because
I mean, what's going on with Chrishell? You know, what I mean,
high art. See, I mean, Chrishell.
I mean, I see what's happening in real life. I
miss Maya. I miss Maya a lot.
Oh yeah,
Maya was Miami number one now. In my power rankings, number one. Yes. But you know,
yeah.
Also a true crime podcast. If you look at the deals that they're getting away with, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, some of these places are a steal. All right.
Yeah, have to see what happens with the Christine-less Selling Sunset. We'll see if it's still good. I think it'll be fine.
Exactly.
Miles, where can people find you? What is work media you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, other app-based websites, at Miles of Gray. You can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack at Mad Boosties, where we talk about, you know, the NBA, the postseason right now, my Lakers, who are... I don't know what happened in Game 3, so it could really be... Or it could be... Mm-hmm. But hey, we'll have to find out next episode. And you can also find me talking about 90 Day Fiancé, my favorite reality trash fire show, on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. So you know what time it is. Let's see. Do I like a tweet? Nope, I don't. I haven't actually gone on Twitter. Although I do see, Casey DeSantis is trending. So I can only, there's a Politico deep dive on her. Can't wait to read it. Yeah. Let me see.
Casey DeSanctimonious, you mean? Come on, they all have to have the name, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, here's one. Okay, no, apparently there's this whole Politico deep dive is talking about how she's the one controlling everything.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Even the pudding?
Yeah, even the pudding.
Come on, you big slop pig, go.
Yeah. Pudding was a psyop to get us to identify with him. They're like, everybody eats pudding with their fingers, right?
Everyone. So we'll just,
like a four-year-old? Yeah.
And then he blew it by being like, that's not true. Sugar, man. Come on. I don't eat that. I don't eat pudding. All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. Adam Sirius at Rao Tweetin tweeted me. I'm having hearing issues. Doctor, can you describe the symptoms? Me. It's a TV show about a family from Springfield. That one really got me. And then Zach Dunn tweeted a picture of the HBO Max ad, maybe. And it says, join your favorite plumbers on an epic quest. Rent or own the Super Mario Brothers movie at home with Xfinity. So it's an Xfinity ad. And he said, hey, bud, I'm only going to say this once. So listen close. You have no fucking idea who my favorite plumbers are. Don't assume you know anything. Oh, shit.
You don't know me.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's the song that you think people might enjoy?
Here's a song you might enjoy. This is an artist from Belfast named Caliber, and the track is called Feeling Normal, and it kind of reminds me of like Tom Yorke dance music, like Idiotech by Radiohead. Like, if you like that, I think you'll probably like this, because it's got like, you know, kind of interesting industrially beat with a haunting, spooky falsetto over it. So check out Feeling Normal by Caliber. Oh, and also, if you really like Idiotech, I just heard a college a cappella version of it by the Virginia Silhouettes from the University of Virginia. Ooh. An all-female identifying a cappella group. That's another one. If you want to hear a spooky version of Idiotech, try that one off for size.
Spooky Radiohead covers. Really, like, it's just a matter of time until you hear that cover. And it'll be in the trailer for Super Mario Brothers 2.
Right, right.
Like, slow.
The Social Network version about Elon Musk will have that
one. Yeah. There you go. God. Yeah, truly. Idiotech.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Yep. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.